Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RT Radio 1.
Counting is underway. It continues in Northern Ireland's council elections. Some 807 candidates are standing, with 462 seats up for grabs across 11 councils in the north. The councils are responsible for local services, including waste collection and planning, but the election outcome may also play a crucial role in whether the DUP decide to re-enter the Stormont Assembly. Sinn Féin has made a strong start, leading the way with 43 councillors up till now elected, ahead of the DUP with 24 and the Alliance with 10 seats, UUP with 8 and the SDLP with 3 seats. Sinn Féin Vice President Michelle O'Neill joins us now from Belfast City Hall. Michelle O'Neill, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Now, a strong start by Sinn Féin, by all accounts, more than 60 councillors elected so far, but we won't know until tomorrow the full result. What's your reaction so far, though?
So we are absolutely off to a hugely positive start. There's still a lot of counting to be done. It'll run into tomorrow evening, but we fought a very positive campaign, and there's no doubt that the public have embraced that and endorsed that approach. And you can see that coming through, where we're making historic breakthroughs. We're gaining seats right across every county, but certainly we're making historic breakthroughs. For the very first time, Sinn Féin have returned, or the electorate have returned, a Sinn Féin councillor in Lisburn City, also in Ballymena. You know, this is all new ground and new territory, which obviously is a good sign. So
What do you put that down to, Michelle?
I put it down to the positive campaign, the approach that we've taken. I put it down to being a party that is very much looking towards the future, a party that's committed to working for everybody in society. And I think the message that, I mean, it is a local government election. However, what was very much to the fore of people's minds and conversations on the doorsteps was the need to have the Assembly and the executive work in the north. Mm-hmm. And I think that people came out because, as you know, last May, there was also a very historic Assembly election in which Sinn Féin were returned as the largest party, and I am currently the First Minister-elect. That election result has still not been respected. And I think that the people come out again in this election to reinforce that message and to say that they want politics working here. They want the Assembly up and running.
If you become the biggest local party in after this election, along with being the biggest party after the Stormont election, how do you interpret that then, vis-a-vis the DUP losing out?
Well, we all put ourselves before the electorate, and they return who they choose, who they, I suppose, associate themselves mostly with. And I think in this election, it's very clear, and the previous election, that the people here are endorsing the Sinn Féin approach, which is one about positivity. It's about standing up for workers and families. It's about working in partnership with others. It's about looking towards the future and trying to just make people's lives generally better. So I think that that's what the electorate have endorsed. But, you know, we've had no government in the north now for a year and a half. And there should be no more delays. And in the aftermath of this election, when the votes are all counted, I think the two governments need to be engaged. They're both co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement. And the British Irish Intergovernmental Conference should meet, and the two governments should work together. And I want to know what the plan is to have the executive restored, because we can't go on in this limbo forever.
What do you think should happen?
I think the two governments should come together. They have a mechanism, which is the British Irish Intergovernmental Conference, that should meet. And they should come from that meeting with a plan as to how they're going to restore the executive.
But do you think there could be an executive without the DUP?
Well, there can't be one, because power sharing is the nature of politics in the north. It's how it works. So we have to work together. The DUP are in a battle with the British government, and the people here are being punished as a result of that. So them staying out of the executive has meant that we have had crippling budgets imposed on public services here, and no locally elected ministers there in defence of the people here. So it's not a tolerable situation, and the DUP need to now rethink their approach. They need to get back into the executive. I can't understand.
I hope that line holds, because I do have a follow-up question in relation to how Stormont and the executive could be reinstated, especially if we're waiting for the DUP on their call. Let's try and re-establish that line with Michelle O'Neill. Can you hear me, Michelle O'Neill? Possibly not. We'll try and re-establish that line as quickly as possible. I know Geoffrey Donaldson has had something very interesting to say in relation to turnout for the unionist parties and how that has affected the unionist vote. You can hear me again, Michelle O'Neill? Can you hear me?
Yes, sorry for
okay.
that.
Sorry about that. The gremlins are working today. can I ask you in relation to the unionist vote? Geoffrey Donaldson has been speaking on another media platform. He says the results show unionists have split their vote here and that's benefited Sinn Féin. I mean, you point to your positivity, as you say. Could it be realistically down to that?
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think that there's plenty of votes still to be counted, but I put the Sinn Féin successes today down to the public embracing the campaign that we fought. I put the Sinn Féin successes down to the fact that we are committed to working for everybody in society here, that we're committed to building a better future, that we're the party that stands up for workers and families. And I would thank the electorate for coming out in the way in which they have. But certainly we have a fair way to go yet, but there's no doubt in my mind that we will make significant gains in this.
But then the question is, and we were talking about the reinstatement of Stormont and the executive. You say there's no way of doing that without the DUP. Would you like there to be a way without the DUP if they hold their position and not re-enter?
Well, you see, the nature of politics in the North, obviously we've got a very special and unique situation, particularly because, and we've just celebrated 25 years of our peace agreement. And the nature of politics in the North is that you have to, the business in which we all work together is power sharing. So you can't, you know, work without each other. People need to work in a collective way.
But that means no Stormont then.
Well, that's if you accept that's the case. I don't accept that that's the case. I think that DUP will hear a message today from the electorate, and over the course of today and tomorrow, they'll hear a message from the electorate that they want parties to work together. So what is the alternative for the DUP at this stage? Is it to stay out of the executive in the long term? I don't think that's a good position for anybody to be in.
Some say they hate the prospect of sharing under a Sinn Féin First Minister. Do you have a message for Geoffrey Donaldson on that?
Well, I think that we need to all work together. I think political parties need to find ways to make politics work. And there's no doubt that there'll be a cohort within the DUP that have a problem serving with a Sinn Féin First Minister. But that is, see the people in society that want yesterday. That's not available to them. Things are changing across the island, and politics is changing, the political landscape is changing. And now is the time for all parties to work together, to be in the executive, to make politics work, standing up for workers and families, fighting back against Tory austerity.
Do you think it expedites the prospect of a border poll this election, if you become the biggest local party as well?
I think there's an appetite for change across the island, and I do think that in the next decade we will, and we're increasingly having the conversation around what constitutional change will look like. But for me, this election is about actually having a restored executive. This is about politics working. This is about the parties working together. This is about local services. It's a combination of all of the above. But there's no doubt in my mind that in terms of constitutional change, there's a conversation underway now that needs to be increased. And that's why the Irish government actually now needs to form a citizens' assembly. Let's have the conversation around what does that look like? What does the health service look like?
And who pays for it as well?
Well, it's the Irish government. It's an imperative on the Irish government to plan for constitutional change, and it's imperative on them to create the conditions in which we can have a healthy conversation around what could be better for us all.
Yeah, the opponents of Sinn Féin are obviously saying it's a chilling prospect to have Sinn Féin in power in the North, and Sinn Féin in power if it were to happen after a general election in the Republic. They say that you're not a normal party. You've heard these allegations before, that there are questions around the funding or donations given to Sinn Féin, and that Sinn Féin would be bad for business. How would you respond to those?
Well, isn't that just ridiculous? This is democracy in action, and the people have endorsed the Sinn Féin candidates, the Sinn Féin teams, whether that be an assembly team, council teams, or Chuck the Dalla, right across the board, the electorate know that it's Sinn Féin that will work hard on their behalf, and it's Sinn Féin that's leading.
But is it ridiculous? There are continuous
allegations. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Aren't there, that you're not a normal party, that you don't have normal democratic processes, and that dissent to a large degree is not allowed in Sinn Féin compared to other parties? That's what your opponents say.
I think that's a really, you know, old world view. I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. Of course, we're a normal political party, and of course, we're elected like everybody else. And of course, the electorate are returning Sinn Féin in large numbers.
They say you're political chilling opponents. For business. How do you respond to that?
I don't accept that. And I think that's a political opponent's argument. Whenever you have to reach for things like that, it means that you know that you're losing the public mood, and that Sinn Féin are actually capturing the public mood and standing up for workers and families on a daily basis.
What is true, though, is that you're untested as a party in government. Because even in Stormont or the executive, if things go wrong, Sinn Féin, along with the Unionist parties, blame Westminster. And you haven't been Sinn Féin in power in the Republic. So maybe the inexorable rise of Sinn Féin is due to you being untainted by the responsibility of government.
Well, again, I think you probably need to catch up. Since 1998, when we signed the Good Friday Agreement, Sinn Féin have been involved in power sharing. Sinn Féin have been running government departments. Sinn Féin have successfully run government departments. And, you know, so...
And blame Westminster when things go wrong. That's the question.
I know, but, you know, that's... You're being quite selective and think in terms of how you're presenting things. The nature of the North is this. Yeah, let me just help you out with it. But so the nature of things in the North is this, that we are funded via Westminster. Things that happen in England, decisions taken by Tory ministers in England, impact on the lives of the people here. We do our very, very best to represent the people here, to fight back against Tory austerity, for example. But the nature of how we're funded in the North, it's just not good enough. Doesn't cut the mustard whenever it comes to delivering good public services. Mm. So we can continue to do our best for the public, but there are limitations in terms of...
Well, I think you're making my point for me in terms of you blaming Tory governments and so on. Can I ask you about the coronation of King Charles?
I absolutely do blame the Tory government for austerity.
No,
apologies for the backdrop. I'm in a care centre.
You're okay. Can I ask you finally about the coronation of King Charles? Is it something you enjoyed? Did you get to meet the King at the coronation?
No, I didn't meet him at the coronation, but I have met him on previous occasions, both myself and Mary Lou. So I attended the coronation because I think I talked earlier about how things are changing across the island, and I think that if we can all be comfortable in our own, you know, political allegiance, our own outlook, I think we should also be respectful of the change and the difference that we have. Mm-hmm. And for me, attending the coronation was about being respectful for those people in the North who look towards the monarchy. You know, that's where their political allegiance lies. Mm-hmm. I obviously have a different allegiance, but that's okay. I'm comfortable enough in my own skin to be able to attend the coronation to be respectful.
You enjoyed the occasion?
Well, I've certainly, it's a historic moment in time. I mean, of course, it's something that I said I would go, I'd be respectful. And that's what I did. And I think that it's something throughout the campaign has come up on the doors continually where people think it was the right thing to do. You know, they thought it was a positive initiative. And it's very much about being respectful. I think we all need to, particularly those of us in political leadership, need to be, careful in our political discourse. And I think it's important to sort of demonstrate civility and maturity in politics.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Drive Time. That's the Vice President of Sinn Féin, Michelle O'Neill.